Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. In preparation for the sermon this week, I went back and looked at my sermon from 6 years ago when I last time I preached on this text. And the text was, last time I preached on it, it was the week after Father's Day. And this is what I said. I must say, I am sure glad that this wasn't the gospel reading last week. This whole brother delivering brother to death and father his child and children raising against parents and having them put to death just doesn't sound very Father Day-ish. Oh, how the Lord has a good sense of humor. 6 years later, this is our text for Father's Day. And what do I have to say? Well, so today let us talk about the wonderful text the Lord has provided for us for this Father's Day and talk about having to eat my own words. And I guess my humor about the text will end at that point, as God has a great sense of humor far greater than mine. And yet in our gospel lesson for this week, Jesus is teaching his disciples the truth about our human nature and the world's reproach for him. And if for him, then also for his followers. Jesus tells his disciples, a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher, and the servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they malign those in the household? You see why we prayed today in the collect? Keep us aware of your daily mercies that we may live secure and content in your eternal love. You see, when Jesus is teaching here to his disciples, Beelzebul is not a word we really want to use. If you were in high school around my age, and some after, I know a few before, there was a book you were forced to read in school. I'm sorry. There was a book you were given the opportunity to read in school. I should put that in proper context. Called Lord of the Flies. It's been turned into a movie. Well, that's exactly what Beelzebul means. Lord of the Flies. Well, literally, Lord of the Dung Heap. And so Jesus says, if they call me Lord of the Dung Heap, what are they going to call you? Again, not a very Father's Day-ish statement, right? No. But what Jesus is doing here is he is warning his disciples then and us today to expect persecution as we carry out his mission of being his witnesses. Please understand, opposition to the gospel is more evidence of sin's grip on the human heart. For the heart cannot be trusted because it always desires to follow the broad path. So when we experience abuse and rejection because of our loyalty to Jesus and his word, not just because we're jerks, but because we're actually being loyal to Jesus and his word, we strive to respond not with riots and violence, but by forgiving and seeking to be at peace even with our enemies. The prophet Jeremiah helps to buttress us in our resolve as he reminds us in our text. Now, mind you, Jeremiah is speaking these words after being released from prison. He had been in prison for proclaiming God's word and being a faithful prophet. And Pastor, one of the religious leaders, just couldn't stand him. And so Jeremiah says, but the Lord is with me as a dread warrior, therefore my persecutors will stumble. They will not overcome me. They will be greatly shamed, for they will not succeed. Even Jeremiah's friends were waiting for him to stumble and fall. And yet, he was a prophet of God. The fact is that enemies of the gospel can and will persecute believers. But only, and this is an important thing to understand, only within limits set by our Heavenly Father. Even though it doesn't feel like it, particularly when we're going through persecution, our Heavenly Father is the one in charge. We need not be afraid of those who oppose us because we confess Christ, as they can only harm our body. During these times of persecution, Christians can be confident of God's love, not because of what we have done or what we are going through, but because of what God has done. The Father sent the Son, and the Son took all our suffering into His flesh and died our death, and on the third day rose to redeem us from sin, death, and the power of the devil. Hear again the comforting words of Jesus. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father? But even the hairs on your head are all numbered. Fear not. Therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. Now, the word in the Greek for that we translate penny is not penny. It's aseron or aseroin. And it literally represents the equivalent of a half an hour's pay for a day laborer. A day laborer would get a denarii for a full day. So a half an hour of that full day of work would be the equivalent of what sparrows were sold for. And I know that that text is quite comforting, because we know that when he says we're of more value than many sparrows, we're of the value that God sent his own Son to die for. So that should be comforting. But there's sometimes I wonder how many sparrows I'm worth more than, because it doesn't feel like it from time to time that there's a lot of them. And of course, we all know the experience of the hairs of our head, well, being much easier to number than they used to be. But it's all there to remind us that God is so intertwined with us by His desire to be with us as His children, as the Father wants that relationship with us as the Father, that He cares so intimately about us, that He knows everything there is to know about us. And so, well, ask yourself, should being a Christian ever give you cause for fear? Think about it. What are you really afraid of? If it's not eternal damnation, it can only be temporary. Did you hear the words of our text? And do not fear those who kill body but cannot kill soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Who is it that destroys body and soul in hell? It's God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Contrary to all the popular false beliefs about hell, Satan is not ruling hell. Rather, hell is a place for his suffering, just like everyone else who sadly go there. And this is important. We never take joy in someone going to hell. This text is clear. Those who disown the Son will be disowned by the Father. See why we say in the explanation to the commandments in Luther's Small Catechism, we fear and love God? For apart from God-given faith, you and I stand as condemned sinners, as we pleaded guilty before each other and God of denying Jesus by our sins in our own confession. Every time we look the other way when our family members are living in sin, every time we go with the flow of the world just to fit in, or begin to think ourselves better than our neighbors, every time we let things of this life take us away from the things that bring eternal life, God's word and sacrament. Of these and so many other things, we are needful to plead guilty before God and fall on the mercy of God or face eternal damnation. Please never forget, Jesus brings and gives peace between us and God and peace with each other, but his gospel would not create peace between his people and those who reject it. Instead, it would raise opposition and even persecution. And yet Jesus has something to say to all of us. That is, all who have God-given faith. And that's simply this: fear not. It should come as no surprise that these words are needed as needed today as they were when Jesus spoke them to his disciples. Think of the guilt of Peter after he had betrayed Jesus, or the disciples after they had forsaken him and he came and visited them in the upper room. He always visited them, reminding them that he was offering them peace. Instead of fear, Jesus offers peace with God with his fear not. How about our own guilt over our sins that we daily face, and the law of God that accuses us daily, declaring us guilty, and the punishment of our sin, which is death, that causes us to fear all the time? Yet Jesus says to you and to me, fear not. The Father loves you more than the creatures of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea. Fear not. The Father loves you so intimately that he has even counted the hairs on your head. Fear not. Even during times like we are living in today, 2020 has been a peach, hasn't it? Australian fires, COVID-19, murder hornets, protests, riots, and even the destruction of public historical property. And still Jesus says, fear not. Hear the comforting words that St. Paul adds to our text today in our epistle lesson. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus can tell us to fear not because he is the author and finisher of our faith. It is the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. So fear not. Jesus has redeemed you from your sinful way of life. In his death on the cross, he takes our death, taking our sins onto himself and giving us in exchange the most one-sided swap in history, his perfect righteousness. By the grace of God and the gift of faith in the Son, even our sinful actions, words, and desires are forgiven. This is why Paul can write in our epistle, for sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Are we to sin because we are not under a law, but under grace? By no means. Now notice the difference then with the Christian's life. Jesus says to the disciples, what I tell you in the dark, say in the light. What you hear whispered, proclaim from your housetop. You know how things go. Normally that which is said in the dark or whispered in the ear are not fit for repeating. That's where profanity and gossip and slander live. But the confessing Christian will speak the same in the dark or in the light, in the ear or on the housetop. We are called to live a life that reflects the light of the world, our Lord Jesus Christ, to a world lost in the darkness of sin. So the Christian will strive against the flesh each and every day, living only by faith in the Son, knowing that storms and wars and poor health will come, even tribulations like those mentioned in our text. Brother will deliver brother over to death, and father the children, and children their parents. Oh, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake, Jesus says. Yet we can still have peace, because none of the things of this life can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So fear not. The one who endures to the end will be saved. Fear not. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. As the hymn writer says, have no fear, little flock. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.